You're listening to the weekly teaching podcast of South Hills Church in Corona, California. We hope that what you hear today inspires you to laugh, question, think, and grow. If you'd like to connect with us even further, hit us up online at southhills.org/corona. Thanks for listening, and we hope you enjoy this week's episode.
That got me. Be honest, did it get you too? I know you could see Gretchen was crying the entire time, and I was trying to hold it back. But we just have such a deep love for all of the moms in our congregation. And we are so bummed that we don't get to be with you in person today. But I do just want to say happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there. And we feel so honored and privileged that you decided to spend part of your day here with us. I am wearing a suit coat because that's what my mom would want. And I'm back to drinking water in my cup because that's what my wife would want. But I'm still wearing a t-shirt because that's what I would want, and I'm me. So my wife has been doing an incredible job during this quarantine, just keeping track of our kids. And there's so much that both she and I have had to relearn during this time. And one of the things is just trying to deal with our kids' boredom. The school only lasts so long, like playing outside only lasts so long. And there's been a handful of days that were too hot or were too rainy. And one of the things that they've found that they really enjoy is there are these YouTube videos where people will take the time to just teach kids how to draw things. And our kids have been obsessed with learning how to draw and learning how to make these things. And all three of them will be sitting at the island in our kitchen, and they'll all be watching this video and step by step, just tediously trying to make sure that they're matching up perfectly. And every single time, without fail, one of them just erupts in this frustration. And he says, "I can't do this. I'm trying to make mine look like theirs, and it's not working, okay? I can't do what they're doing. Like, I don't even have all that stuff." And I'm looking at the guy, like, in the YouTube video, and he does. He has, like, all of the art supplies. Like, he cleaned out a store right before quarantine. He's got a million different color pencils and 15 different erasers, and he's got pens, and he's got a little inkwell. He's got all this sort of stuff. And I'm looking at what my kids have, and I'm looking at the frustration on their faces. And I remember just looking at one of my kids and just saying, like, "Yeah, you're right. You don't have all that stuff. You have this stuff. You have your stuff. So don't draw their picture. Draw your picture." I don't know, as a parent, if you've ever had these moments where you actually experience yourself being the kind of parent that you said you were going to be, that you really want to be, that you aspire to be. And a part of you on the inside is like, "Way to go, Dad. You're awesome, Mom." And it's your inner voice talking to yourself, and you feel proud of it, but your kids just roll their eyes. That was this moment for me. But I really did mean it. And I still do. I mean, I don't want my kids to grow up trying to draw someone else's picture and finding themselves feeling angry and depressed and stuck because they don't have all the right stuff. And I don't want them to feel like that for a lot of reasons, but partially because, like, I have spent way too much of my life doing that. And it is exhausting. It's deflating. When you look at your life, do you ever feel frustrated because it feels like everyone else's picture looks so much better than yours? And I mean, you're not trying to compare, but it's like, you've got nothing but time and an Instagram account. And so, I mean, you're just scrolling through, looking at the pictures of everybody else's lives, and it just seems like everyone else is handling whatever this is so much better than you. I mean, they've figured out how to make the most of it and how to have all this fun and how to multitask and how to juggle all these different things and how to learn new skills and how to homeschool and Zoom and how to, like, you know, create all these really extra special family moments. And it just feels like I could do so much more if I had what they had. I mean, that's the picture that I want, but I don't know how to draw that. And I would wager that if you're a mom, you know this feeling. Do you ever say things to your kids that if you're really honest on some level, you're really saying it to yourself. Like you say to your kids some version of, listen, I know you want a 32 count professional grade color pencil mega pack with the built-in sharpeners, but like, you know, you don't have that right now. Like what you do have is you've got one number two pencil and you've got a broken eraser. You've got two yellow crayons. You've got a pen that I'm pretty sure your mom stole from the chiropractic office, and you've got a Sharpie. But I'm telling you, even though it doesn't feel like it, you've got everything you need to make something magic. So let's see what you've got. Like, don't draw their picture, draw your picture. And I wonder if, like me, you've said things like this to your kids, but you struggle to believe it for yourself in your own life. How many of us are trying to teach our kids lessons that we never learned? I think I'm finding that maybe there are a lot during this quarantine season. And so today, I want to just look at this really unique story in the Old Testament of one particular mom that learned this lesson incredibly well in her life. And the story is found in Judges chapter 4. And I'm going to read you, I'll start reading in verse 3. Sisera, who had 900 iron chariots, ruthlessly opposed the Israelites for 20 years. I know some of you are thinking, this does not sound like a Mother's Day story. And I get that, but just give it a minute, okay? This story takes place in a time of war. And the Jewish people, you know, since this is a Jewish book, are of course the heroes, right? The Israelite people. And the bad guy, this guy named Sisera, is like the face of evil. And they've been in this huge war. Like, everyone's lives are on hold as they all band together as a nation to fight this thing. And this particular woman is at home by herself, and her husband is off fighting in the war. Like, he's away at work, and he doesn't have the ability to really come back. Like, they're not able to really live their normal. And that means that there's all this extra weight on her shoulders. So much is up to her. There's so many things for her to care for. The house or the tent and the kids and the homework and the community activities and the camels. And it's a lot. And it feels like she has trouble at times just trying to catch her breath. And what's worse is she feels like she ought to be able to do this. Like, she looks around and it just seems like all these other women are doing it so gracefully, but it doesn't feel like that for her. And she's not them. She doesn't have what they have. Their pictures look so much better than hers. And it just feels like at times like she's not enough. If we pick up the story back in verse 15 of the fourth chapter of Judges, it says, when the Israelites attacked, the Lord threw Sisera and all of his chariots and warriors into a panic, and Sisera leaped down from his chariot and escaped on foot. He ran to the tent of Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite. Because of Heber's family, he was on friendly terms with King Jabin of Hazor. These all sound like made up people. Jael went out to meet Sisera and said to him. Now, I just want to pause right here. This is the housewife that we're talking about, whose husband's away at war, who's holding down the fort and feeling like maybe she doesn't have what it takes. And imagine that you were this person, and imagine that one day one of your kids runs out to you and says that there's somebody in the front yard waiting for you. And you walk out there, and standing in front of you, holding all of this weaponry, dripping in blood, is the world's biggest war criminal. And he's asking for you. What do you do? What goes through your mind? What are you going to say? Here's what she does. Come into my tent, sir. Come in. Don't be afraid. So she went into her tent and she covered him with a blanket. Not what you thought she was going to do, was it? I know if you're like me and you're reading this, you're like, what? She invites him in, gives him a blankie, and then tucks him in. This is the part of the movie, at least if you're in my family, where you look up and you just yell at the screen like, "Don't do it, woman! He's gonna kill you!" I don't know if you guys talk to movies, but we do. Even though they can't hear us, we pretend like they. It's just a fun, makes it more fun. Why does she do this? Because this might not have been what you would have done. This probably isn't how somebody else would have handled it. This is definitely not how a soldier would have handled it, but she's not a soldier. She didn't have what they had. She has what she has. Like the picture is not gonna look like what it would have looked like if somebody else drew it, but they aren't living her life. She is. Like the war criminal is not standing in front of them. It's standing in front of her, and she knows she has to do something. And so she uses what she has. She does what she knows. She invites him in. She gives him a blankie. She tucks him in. I mean, like, what else is she gonna do? Like, this is all she has. And so she just goes with it. Some of you are like, I cannot wait to see how this plays out. Let's see. It's very next verse, verse 19. "Please give me some water," he said. I'm thirsty. So she gave him some milk from a leather bag. What? Unacceptable replacement. I just want you guys to know, if I'm ever at your house and I ask you for a glass of ice water and you give me warm, chunky milk in a leather bag, unacceptable. Okay, like, but this is what she's got. I mean, talk about improving in the moment with what you actually have, not with what you wish you had. And she offers it to him and he drinks it. It actually happens to be a delicacy in this culture. And then this happens. Verse 20, "Stand at the door of the tent," he told her. "If anybody comes and asks you if there's anyone in here, say no." So she does. She's standing there in the doorway of her tent, wondering how in the world she got here, in a set of circumstances she never asked for, in a situation she could never even imagine being in, and thinking like, what am I supposed to do now? Like, I'm not equipped for this. I don't have all the right stuff. And how many of us as parents, how many of you moms are here right now? You're looking at your life in much the same way, and you're just thinking like, I didn't ask for this. Like, I never wanted to homeschool, okay? Like, I'm not really like that into technology. It's so hard to quarantine teenagers who are having a meltdown. I'm not great at placing limits on certain things. Like, I'm not a professional counselor. I don't know how to deal with the moodiness of my children. Like, I'm not made to cook 3 meals a day and then do the cleanup. I'm just not that kind of person. I don't get the joy out of it that everybody else seems to. Like, I'm not the kind of like, figure out fun, crafty things to do and entertain your children all day, because every day is a party and a circus. That's not who I am. I didn't ask for this. I mean, I didn't even know this was a possibility. And I don't know how to do what they need me to do. I don't know how to be who the people around me need me to be. I look at my life and the circumstances, and I wish I had something else. Sometimes I wish I was someone else. And part of me feels like maybe they wish that a little bit too. Do you do this? When the unpredictable arises, do you immediately obsess over all the things you can't do as opposed to imagining what you can? Do you get so focused on what's missing that you miss what's possible? Jael, as she is standing in the doorway of her tent, thinking about her circumstances, thinking about who she is and what she has, she comes up with a creative plan to leverage all of that to make a difference right then. And it was a flawed plan. Like, I mean, it was risky. It was unusual. Like, she'd never heard of somebody else doing it this way before. And it was going to require her to step out and to be brave. And she wanted to, but there's a huge part of her that just didn't feel ready. Can I just tell you that most of the profound things that God has purposed for you, you won't feel ready to do. Because the reality is, you can be fully prepared and still not feel ready. And guess what? That's normal. You know what makes me feel better when I feel this way? And I feel this way a lot, like not ready. Did you know that Jesus didn't feel ready? For all the biggest moments of his life, he was prepared, but he didn't feel ready. In fact, as we count down to his first miracle, he didn't feel ready. In fact, he says to his mom, "My time has not yet come." In other words, I'm not ready. But there's this moment where right before Jesus goes to the cross, he knows he's about to die. I mean, talk about a profound moment that God has purposed for you to change the world. And Jesus is in a garden praying, crying, "God, if there's any way, let this cup pass from me." What does that mean? It means I'm not ready. This feeling isn't abnormal or unusual. It's a part of being human. And the only tools that JL has to draw her picture are hospitality and tent assembly. These are her two basic skills. These are the only two things that she really feels good at or knows how to do. So she grabs hold of this tool that she's held 10,000 times before. And this is what happens. Verse 21, it says, "When Sisera fell asleep from exhaustion, Jael quietly crept up to him with a hammer and tent peg in her hand, and she drove the tent peg through his temple and into the ground. And so he died." I love how nonchalant that last part is. And so, yeah, he died. He's not gonna, you don't come back from that. That's where it ends for you. A little graphic for Mother's Day. Sorry, Mom. Dad, you're welcome. Like, do you know how hard that would be to do? To actually drive a tent peg through someone's skull without them waking up? Like, what if he wakes up? What if you miss? What if like he gets startled when you're creeping in the room, right? What if you don't hit it hard enough? And yet here's the crazy part of this story. She's probably the one person in the world who's most likely not to miss. What are the chances of that? Because the picture this situation required for someone to draw happened to call for the exact tools and skills she'd spent a lifetime developing. The only one she had access to, all she had to do was to see that and wrestle with how to creatively apply them. That coincidence boggles my mind. Can I tell you something? It's not a coincidence. God actually knows what he's doing. The reality of it is that God had been grooming this woman for years, developing in her everything that she needed to be able to do a thing that she was particularly equipped to do in ways she'd never even entertained before, to turn the tide of history and to win a war that would change everything for her people. He didn't use a soldier. He didn't use a gladiator. He didn't use somebody who was very proficient in kung fu, right? He used a housewife who drove tent stakes in a nomadic tribe on the backside of a desert, who was at home feeling lonely, feeling stuck, feeling like she wasn't good enough, feeling she had no real skills to offer the world. And as it turns out, she had everything her people needed. Let me ask you this. What if you already are and already have everything you need to face what's in front of you right now? What if while you're scrolling through Instagram or staring at a screen at somebody else on Facebook and wishing you could have or be in or draw their picture, what if, as it turns out, you were made to be who you are and where you are and know what you know and have the skills you have to do exactly what God wants you to do right now. I don't think this is that much of a big what if. In fact, one of my favorite verses, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, the Apostle Paul says this, that we are God's masterpiece. He's created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. If this is true, and I think that it is, it means we've got to wrestle with a really important question. How much time have you wasted wishing you were someone else? Wishing you had something else? Wishing you had talent like someone else, wishing you had money like someone else, wishing you had influence like somebody else, wishing you had skills like someone else, a house like someone else. And because of that, you are missing the unique opportunity that God has prepared you for in advance. Here's the truth. You don't need their stuff because you're not drawing their picture. You're drawing yours. You're raising your kids. You're doing your job. You're living your life. You're doing the good things that God has prepared you for. You're drawing your picture, not anyone else's. Focus on being who God made you to be. Focus on doing what God has given you to do. Lean into how God made you and get creative with the problems that he has placed in front of you because he trusts you to partner with him to bring about a solution. You see, the world doesn't need who you wish you were. It needs you to confidently be exactly who you are. And I want to just speak that to you today, especially to all of the moms today, that your family, your kids, they don't need you to be who you wish you were. Like somebody else's feed that you've scrolled past, or somebody else's blog that you're in love with, or somebody else's experience that you compare yourself to on a consistent basis. Like, your kids don't need you to be them. They need you to be you. And when you connect who you really are to what's in front of you, when you give everything that you have to what God has put in front of you, God gives you the power and the strength to make something great of it. And that's what I'm going to pray into your life today. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for who you have made us to be. God, for the lives that you have given us. So many of us, like Jael, we never imagined that we would find ourselves in the situation that we're in. And we feel overwhelmed. We feel ill-equipped. We feel like we're not up to the challenge. And yet, God, you have been preparing us for this moment. And we don't feel ready, but God, we are ready. And I pray that you would give us your holy confidence to believe that you have placed inside of us everything we need in this moment, that you have made us who we need to be in this moment to love our families well, to love our neighbors well. And God, in these next few days, these next few hours, these next few weeks that roll along, God, may we have this sense that we are where we need to be, that we're doing what we need to be doing. God, give us the capacity beyond ourselves to creatively leverage everything that you have placed inside of us to love the people in front of us in the way they need to be loved. And God, may we be content to be different, to not look the same, to draw our picture with whatever you've placed in our hands. And God, may we know that you're going to bless it and use it to do something great. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks again for listening to this week's message from South Hills Church in Corona, California. We hope that you will continue to connect with us here online. We would love to hear your story, feel your questions, and learn how this ministry has changed your life. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by searching South Hills Corona.